You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. You're watching Fanboy Versus with your hosts, J.D. Church, Nicole Hale, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely.
And you are watching Fanboy Versus. I am your host, J.D., joined this week with Chris Triplett.
Hey!
Chris McFeely is still out. Nicole is having PC problems, so there is all kinds of wackiness. Sorry about last week. We just all kind of had stuff. You had birthdays, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I had leg problems, and McFeely was out then as well. So anyway, we're back. It's episode 67, Fanboy versus the off week. Off week in the sense that we were off last week, but also off week in the sense that it wasn't just a lot of great stuff this week.
And I didn't get my comics this week.
Well, not too. But I mean, even for the stuff that I picked up this week, it was. I mean, some of the Marvel stuff was okay, but I definitely had this sense that like. The stuff out of DC is all about ending the story and closing the door. So, there's kind of like, oh, that's cute, you know, but it's not like cliffhanger stuff because there's nothing to cliffhang, you know,
yeah.
Like everything's going to be brand new next month. So there's really no, you know, big stuff to do. You can't, I mean, this is the end of your story for a lot of this stuff. So,
I do find that I've been buying a lot of DC books, the final issues of them, that I wasn't buying.
You know? Really? Like
like Batgirl. I bought the last issue of Batgirl.
Okay. Now, this is with Steph, right? Is it Stephanie?
Yes.
Okay.
Stephanie Brown. Yeah.
So cool. Well, yeah.
It's really weird because I have like this morbid thing where I'm more likely to buy the last issue of a series than I am the first issue of a series.
You know? That's the way to keep comics going, right? Buy the last issue. Oh, this is going away? Cool. Wow, we had a real big uptick in those last issues. Too bad we didn't have that at the beginning. Then it wouldn't have been the last issue.
Yeah.
Nice. So sort of the Undertaker of comics. That's great. So what else did you get? Anything else? So you didn't get any comics this week, but last week you said you got...
Last week I got a few things, but this week I wasn't able to get any comics. But yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So, new stuff, maybe even from last week and this. You said you looked up stuff. That's great, because I didn't.
Yeah, I found some stuff, because I figured somebody needed to do it, since McFeely wasn't here this week.
So appreciate that. Let's
look at this. Marvel teasing the return of the Scarlet Spider in Spider Island. A image Marvel sent out that's tied in with Spider Island, and I saw this on comicbookresources.com, shows Scarlet Spider's kind of hoodie sweatshirt looking thing that he wore with the spider on his chest.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is like on the floor burning or something, and it's to all whatever it is, it's an image that's teasing Spider Island. So if they're doing that, it kinda looks like, you know, Scarlet Spider's gonna have something to do with Spider Island. We don't know really what. I think they had interviewed Dan Slott, and he had made references to when the Scarlet Spider died and turned into goo, and he said, what do you really expect us to do with some guy that turned into goo? So he kind of dodged the question. But
though, here's the thing, and I think we said this a couple weeks ago. If Dan Slott wants to just solidify himself into Spider-Man lore, if he hasn't already, which I think
he already has.
Which I think he really already has. I mean, his run so far.
With the beheading of the old Hobgoblin, that was
Yeah. I mean, you know, like it or hate it. I mean, that's
like
just
like it or hate it. Yeah.
But I'm saying, what I'm saying here is that if he wants to solidify himself in the undoubtedly positive, you know, Spider-Man lore, if he can make the Clone Saga somehow retroactively make sense and seem good with a current story, that is just, I mean, that will be like the biggest fucking Houdini trick ever. It would just be incredible. I don't know. I mean, we've said for years, all you have to do is say Clone Saga and people go, ugh, you know. But if he can, you know, if he could somehow, if this is a vehicle for fixing the Clone Saga, I'm all for it.
Well, the stuff so far with Spider Island's been good. So, and that's like heavily going into Clone Saga, Jackal and Kane, and then like, remember the other guy that was in the tube. This kind of goes with the Scarlet Spider tease thing. Is we don't know who that other guy was. Remember the guy that was in the Clone?
Yes, and that's where I'm wondering. Yeah.
It's Ben Reilly. I mean, that's where it kind of.
That's
kind
of what I'm thinking, like, you know. And but then the question is, who's the girl? And then there's so many good stuff. Yeah. So we're gonna talk Spider Island actually at the end of this show. So
lots
comic
of
from last week. So that'll be good stuff. So okay, cool. Well, that will be interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if this was last week or the week before, but we got the synopsis for the Superman, the Man of Steel movie.
Ah.
And, let's see, the synopsis, it's quick, I'm just going to read it real quick.
Okay.
In the pantheon of superheroes, Superman is the most recognized and revered character of all time. Clark Kent Kal-El is a young 20-something journalist who feels alienated by powers beyond anyone's imagination, transported to Earth years ago from Krypton. An advanced alien planet, Clark struggles with the ultimate question, why am I here? Shaped by the values of his adoptive parents, Martha and Jonathan, Clark soon discovers that having super abilities means making very difficult decisions. But when the world needs stability the most, it comes under attack. Will his abilities be used to maintain peace or ultimately used to divide and conquer? Clark must become the hero known as Superman, not only to shine as the world's last beacon of hope, but to protect the ones he loves. Oh my God, are we getting a Smallville movie? That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, it definitely sounds standard. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't. It does sound Smallville in the sense that it's sort of like wrestling demons or something, you know, like along those lines, choosing sides or something like that. But yeah, it is Headmaster Don. It's very generic, and I agree. I think that's just a very generic. It doesn't tell me anything about that. I mean, you could say that about the first Superman movie. I mean, in a way. I mean, without any kind of, you know, it's very vague, which is
it does sound a lot like, you know, Superman origin again. You know,
oh, yeah, because we need that. I mean, not every child in the freaking world knows Superman's origin. You know?
I mean, because just like, you know, with Amazing Spider-Man, you know, from seeing the first trailer for it, it looks like we're getting that origin again.
They can't help. It's like the writers don't know. Like, you know, pan it as far as the rest of the movie if you want, but give it to Incredible Hulk. They made the movie without retelling his origin. They showed images of it, flashes.
Yeah, I mean,
but
that's how you need to do it, really. Yeah. Just like in the opening credits, just show a rocket ship flying from
exactly.
A planet exploding.
That's all you need.
I don't need anything.
Now,
else.
Benefit of the doubt, I haven't seen this movie, and it's just the description. Yeah. So it could be that they're going to do that. But yeah, for a lot of the films that we have seen, I mean, that, you know, that they say, we're not going to rehash the origin. Everybody knows that. And then what do the writers and directors do? Like, we got to write that in. People won't understand. Yes, they will. Okay, it's lore.
It makes sense, though, why they keep running back the origin. Because you want to say that, okay, this is my thing. This isn't the, like, for Spider-Man, this isn't the Sam Raimi movie. You know, this
it doesn't,
is my movie.
But
It kind of makes sense that you want to, like, say, well, okay, this is, like, how it starts. You know, because if you just had him going out being Spider-Man, general audiences are going to be like, oh, you know, this is Spider-Man 4. You know, this is, you know, even though it doesn't say Spider-Man 4, it says Amazing Spider-Man, they're going to be like, oh, this is Spider-Man 4. Well, you know, what happened to the Sandman? You know, is he still out there?
Yeah.
Is he going to come back?
Well, and that, yeah, so I don't know.
So I understand it. I don't like it, but I understand why they do it.
I think it's, but it's like, I don't know. This is modern, like, classic lore here. I mean, you're talking about, like, this is like the Iliad of our times, you know, not in terms of literary level, but in terms of knowledge level. I mean, you didn't go, like, the Greeks didn't go to plays week after week to watch new shows. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, you know, any versions of, like, I don't know, any, you know, Oedipus Rex or whatever. There's tons of versions of those. You know, you just watched it because there were different takes or different variations on the same story. And you didn't even have to retell all of the old bits because everybody knows the story. And that's the whole thing. It's like, you don't have to do that. Like, I thought Incredible Hulk was a compelling and interesting film. Didn't have to retell the origin story at all. Yeah. Changed it a little bit just with the title credits because that's a fun thing that you can do with film. So, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'll mention something, I don't know, you may have had it on the news part, but Headmaster Don is mentioning that Boom Studios is canceling all their Disney titles, which we kind of knew was coming. And Darkwing is going to end at 18 with the crossover with DuckTales. Well, I put in quotation marks because we know pretty much those are all going to get picked up by Marvel and then be distributed by Marvel overseas. So, so fear not here and overseas people. I mean, well... That's the whole thing, is that the UK is not getting all that stuff right now.
Yeah, McFeely said he couldn't get a Darkwing Duck at least.
Yeah, so this is a good thing for the Brits, because that means that they're going to be able to actually get this stuff, because it's going to be done under Marvel and then be able to be distributed over there. So this is not like these titles are going away at all. I would assume
it's like
they're...
those versions, I guess. You know,
I would say just by sheer fact that they went ahead and bought out the contract, that I would say that they are being done pretty quick. I mean, that indicates to me that Marvel's very interested in picking up those titles. So, I mean, if they didn't care, they would just let the contract run out, which I don't think it's actually out yet. So,
yeah. But yeah, that's definitely some big news there.
So that's some good stuff. So we'll look forward to Bendis writing Darkwing Duck.
Oh, my God. what's his name? Is it Techno Duck on DuckTales? I want Bendis to write that.
Techno Duck?
Is that his name?
Gizmo Duck? Gizmo Duck.
Gizmo Duck. Yeah, yes. It's been forever since I watched
God, that. That's what we need. A good Gizmo Duck, Darkwing
Duck
crossover. Oh, man.
Awesome.
It's like Superman with an Iron Man suit dealing with Batman. It's great.
Speaking of Disney, recently at the Disney D23 event, apparently they shot off new footage of the Avengers, which you can't see.
Okay.
And we can't see the reaction to the audience, but apparently the audience went crazy for it. So,
allegedly the audience went crazy.
Allegedly the audience loved it. Like, oh my God. Okay. And it's like, I think they mentioned something about seeing the Incredible Hulk, the CG for him in it.
Cool.
Some action scenes. And I'm not going to spoil it, but I think it pretty much defined who's going to be the villain for Avengers. So I'm not going to say anything else about
that. Not who we thought it was? Or?
It's probably who you thought it was.
Because I know we've talked about who we thought it was supposed to be on the show. But.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
But it's probably who you thought
it's
it
probably
was. It's probably who you thought it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Last bit of news real quick. Hey, that Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance thing happened.
Yes. That is a real trailer for a movie that is apparently happening.
That is a trailer for a movie, all right?
Yeah. it was okay. I mean, it was pretty... There's a lot of fast shots. It was hard to really see a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see anything vastly different or compelling from the last film.
I like the redesigned look, the more burnt out suit.
Yeah, where the suit looks like it's been burnt.
Skull look to it, where it kind of this grittier, more gringier kind of look to it. I like that. I think that's a good choice.
Yeah.
What happens at the end of the trailer, maybe?
Yeah, we'll just leave that to y'all. I don't even want to talk about that because that was like, what? Really? I had to back it up and watch again. It's like, is that really? I even met, like, Triple had quoted it on Twitter, and I went and watched it based on the thing that he said. And I was like, did I just see what I think I just saw? He's like, oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. It's like they had me, you know, with all the little stuff.
I know. It was great. And then it was like, it turned into Transformers.
And all this stuff. And then, like, it's like I'm in some sort of a stupid.
It was like, did Michael Bay direct that final scene of that? Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So, but
I'll go see it.
Oh, hell yeah. I love Ghost Rider. I'm not going to pass up on it.
And you mentioned the thing about Marvel Knights, I think.
Yeah, well, I went back for some so I've been laid up, like I said, most of the week. And you know, I've basically just had television to watch. I happened upon Punisher Warzone last night, which I had never watched, and I came in about maybe halfway or so through. But when I got to looking it up, that film was done under Marvel Knights as well, and apparently that's going to be their grittier, edgier. I assume that also takes it out of the Marvel proper. So the Marvel Knights is being done still under like Marvel Studios. But I think it's a way for them to separate and say, okay, this isn't in the same film universe as, like, the Avengers and, you know, Nick Fury and S.H.I.E.L.D. and all of that. So,
yeah, I was thinking grittier type movies because I was thinking – and also to go with, like, movies that maybe could still be under the – like 20th Century Fox and places like that.
Well,
I don't remember. Did Ghost Rider, was that one of those 20th Century Fox deals?
It may have been, but it's run out. I think they've lost. I think they got the rights back from Marvel. If it was, an early Marvel. It was 2006. They may have been under. I don't know what I'm talking about.
See, because like the reason that you're talking now about doing a reboot of Fantastic Four and doing another Daredevil is because isn't the whole deal that Fox was going to lose those if they didn't make a movie? Isn't that
some I think so.
Stuff?
I think I think
so. I thought
Fox...
maybe this is like the same deal with Ghost Rider. I was like thinking whoever had it, it's like, oh yeah, we got to make another Ghost Rider, else we'll lose it. Marvel will snatch it up.
I don't think so. I don't think that was the case with this one. I think that whatever studio had it, I was like, yeah, take that. You know, it's not like the first Ghost Rider was wildly popular or anything. You know.
What's it going to be like the best movie ever?
That would be so awesome.
Great.
And then they do a crossover with Punisher. That would be really cool. Awesome. Ghost Rider and Punisher.
Yeah.
Ah. I can dream. So that happened.
That's the news, yeah. That's pretty much it.
Awesome. Good deal.
Yeah.
So
not much.
And we're that's good. No, and we're of course again, we're still on the cusp of the new 52, so that's just 2 weeks away, really, because it's all that stuff comes out on the 31st. So,
yeah, that's not this Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. Oh my god! And then like two comics comes out right on the 31st. Is that how?
Yeah, from DC. Yeah, of course.
Like DC will do what? The last issue of Flashpoint and the first issue of the new relaunched Justice League. Is that the plan? Or
yes.
Has that changed?
Yes. It'll be, it's supposed to be Justice League and the end of Flashpoint and then the start of Justice League. So, yes. See, and I ended up getting the last issue of JLA because I didn't realize there was an issue coming out and I put it on my pull list. And they're like, oh, well, here's the last one. I was like, I didn't want this crap, but I guess I'll read it anyway since that's on my list. So anyway, let's talk some comics. Now, you did not get stuff this week, so you're going to be reviewing stuff from last week. What do you
got? Yeah, just stuff from last week's all I got.
Oh, that's not bad. We weren't here last week, so it's new to us,
right?
We
weren't here last week, so that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I got Spider Island Deadly Foes. I thought I'd talk about that.
Excellent.
It's Spider Island time. It's, you know, a big Spidey event. And it's got the Hobgoblin in it, which was the reason why I wanted it. And Dan Slott wrote it. Along with
Christos Gage.
I mean, yeah, this is like the book to buy.
Yeah, you know? I mean, so your first part here is like Slott and Gage, and then the second part is it's Van Lett. Van Lent. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I mean, they just, so, it's
it
like
sounds the, like when, you know, over
the title of this book could have been Spider Island. Oh my God, why have you not bought this book yet? So, and actually, I will say the funny story about this. It was in my pull box, and I kind of looked at it. I was like, oh, I really like that writing team. I can't really afford another book, though. So I went up to the desk, and I was like, I'm going to put it back, you know, very painfully.
Mm-hmm.
And
you would
and
have made
like,
a huge mistake.
I know. And then he's like, and he's, well, maybe I did decide to keep it. And then he's like, well, it's $5. $5? I can't. And he's like, okay, we'll make it $4. I was like, okay. So
we'll make it cheaper for you so you'll want to buy it.
Yes, exactly. We would rather take your $4 than your not $5. So that's business,
folks. I don't know
what
that says about Deadly Foes. Oh, we can't sell it to anybody else. This guy's already like halfway there. Just knock a buck off so we can get rid of it.
No. I don't think it was that. My shop is good to me. I love those guys down in New World. So if you're in Oklahoma City, go to New World Comics. Good stuff. Yeah. So anyway, I'm sorry, Deadly Foes.
Spider Island, the Deadly Foes. And it's got two stories in it. And I don't know about you, but I enjoyed the Dan Slott, Christos Gage story better.
This was story. The Hobgoblin one?
Hobgoblin, yeah.
You know, I don't recall disliking either one, really. But
I didn't dislike the second story, but I felt like more important. Like, you know, there was, like, more important things to Amazing Spider. Like, the first part, you know, the Dan Slott story felt like it could have been in an issue of Amazing Spidey because, you know, it ties in with everything that's kind of been going on with Hobgoblin
mm-hmm.
or Winters, you know, because he's got that fascination with her. And the issue, we'll just jump right into it, but basically the first story is about Hobgoblin, and it kind of recalls his origins, you know, kind of how he became, you know, the good guy Hobgoblin, and, you know, how his, you know, life has kind of, you know, gone astray, and how he's now the Hobgoblin, and he's now a bad guy, and he does all that stuff. So we basically kind of get a retelling is how it starts off. And he's, you know, just as, you know, creepy as this dude is, you know, he's, you know, keeping tabs on Nora Winters, who's the reporter at the, it's now the Daily Bugle again, isn't it?
Is it back to the Daily Bugle?
I think they got the name, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
that
happened.
It was Frontline, right? And then
yes.
I think they purchased the name, and now they're the Daily Bugle now.
Yeah.
Like prop, I guess. But, so he's, like, keeping tabs on her, and he's, like, you know, he's been doing his thing, trying to win her over and get her to, you know, quit dating Randy Robertson, and it's, you know, stuff's just not working. He's not winning her over. So he's basically just decided that he's going to go kill Randy Robertson and get rid of him. Because that's what bad guys do. They get rid of people that's in their way. They go
right.
And kill him. What we do not know, though, is that it looks like, you know, something's happened to Randy, you know, as there's like a panel here where he's, this is sort of in the middle of the whole Spider Island thing. So you got the people running around with spider powers, looting and doing chaos and everything. And Nora's running out to cover, you know, stories on the street about, you know, all the stuff that's going down. And Randy is trying to stop her. And as he's leaving his apartment, we get the little, you know, panel where we see that Randy's bent the hell out of his doorknob. I wonder what's going on there. You know?
And that's not easy to do. I don't know if you've ever tried to crush your own doorknob. That's not easy to do. So
she goes out onto the street, you know, to cover, you know, the chaos with all the people with spider powers. And Randy's trying to, you know, basically talk her into, you know, getting out of there. You know, it's not safe because, you know, these people are, you know, they could hurt her or something. And the Hobgoblin, you know, jumps Randy, and they have, like, a big fight. And Hobgoblin thinks, oh, this is going to be easy. I'm just going to kill this little wimp. And then, you know, Nora Winters is going to be his, you know. And then what happens? Randy punches the shit out of him.
Yeah.
He has spider powers now. Oh, my God.
You never can depend on people to, you know, just stay normal. They,
have to go just... and get powers when you're trying to kill them, you know?
Yeah. And, yeah, he basically says, buddy, you picked the wrong guy on the wrong day, as he, like, slams the crap out of him. And they, you know, they have a big old fight, and Randy's apparently got powers that are
different. He's got some, he can shoot quills.
Yeah, he's got these things that shoot out of his arm, and they, like, paralyze you when they hit you.
Yeah, there's some spiders that do that, so.
Yeah, because, like, Hobgoblin was gonna, you know, just use his screech, that thing that, can, like, you disable you, and he can't do it because it hits him in his throat, and he can't do it. His sonic laugh, I think, is what it's called.
Yeah, sonic laugh, yeah. Yeah.
And so they just have a big fight, and most of it is just a huge fight where...
Yeah, a lot of bantering back and forth.
A lot of bantering back and forth, and you know, Hobgoblin's like, oh, I've got you because, you know, I'm you know, a pro, and you're just an amateur with these powers and all this stuff. And what's interesting, though, is during the whole fight, Randy's trying to get Nora to, like, you know, get out of there. He's totally concerned with her welfare, but all she is concerned with is getting the story.
Right.
I mean, she's not even concerned with really Randy getting...
Exactly. Like, I think more to the point, she's not even interested in his well-being, you know? Less, I mean, you understand her not being concerned about her well-being, but she's, like, totally, you know... And she even makes that point here, because at the end of this, what he throws a... Robbie throws a car or something, or some... I don't know what that is on...
Well, before that happens, Hobgoblin's got, like, Randy, you know, he's got him with the flaming sword thing, and he's gonna kill him. And Randy's basically, you know, he's thinking, he says, if I know Nora, she doesn't even see my... Oh, wait, this isn't Randy, this is Hobgoblin, sorry. If I know Nora, she doesn't even see my pumpkin bombs lying there. She's only got one thing on her mind, getting the story. Mm-hmm. And that's basically right, you know. She could help Randy by just picking up one of those bombs and throwing it at Hobgoblin and saving his life, and she doesn't do it. She's concerned with, you know, getting it all on video. But Randy, you know, finds a way. He you know, webs him in the face, classic Spider-Man style, and picks up what looks like a car or something. And I don't know what that is, and just slams it down on him and totally taking out Hobgoblin, winning the fight. But then, you know, obviously Randy confronts Nora and says, you know, you weren't, he basically says, me, what's the matter with you? I could have died, you know, and he, like, takes her camera away from her, and they have this big fight, and he's pretty much done with
it. I love this line where she's like, well, this is a war zone. My job is a neutral observer. I'm like, what?
She's like the coldest person on
earth. Oh,
and
crazy.
So Hobgoblin hasn't won. I mean, he didn't kill Randy. He didn't win the fight, but in a way... When we turn the page, he sort of has won.
He lost the battle, but he won the war. I mean, in a sense. Yeah. He finally, you know, he's been trying all this time to convince Nora that he needed to be with her. And what he really ended up doing is convincing Robbie that he didn't need to be with her. So, and that worked just as good. He seemed just as happy with those results because now he perfectly timed, he was able to present himself as a suitable mate who would, you know, understood her desire to get the story.
And, he gets loose from, you know, the wreckage and runs off and changes his clothes. So, you know, he's, you know, regular Joe Schmo, you know, and goes in and says, hey, Nora, you know, I wanted to check on you. You know, I heard you was out here on the streets and all this stuff. And now, you know, Nora basically, you know, sees him and, you know, looks like they're together. And she does, you know, obviously doesn't know he's Hobgoblin. So we've got this situation where, Hobgoblin, you know, he's won her affections, and he's psycho, you know.
Yeah.
I liked it. I mean, it felt like this could have either been part of a main story in Amazing or a backup or something, but it felt very important because this has been building since, you know, he became Hobgoblin.
Right.
And it's kind of interesting that they put it in this, you know, a one-shot instead of actually putting it in the Amazing. So I'm really glad I didn't skip it mostly for this.
Oh, yeah. I think this will, and that'll, you know, definitely come into play. So, no, and I think the intention, especially with the writing team and stuff that was on this, was to tell people, and all the indications were that you needed to buy this with, you know, everything else, especially this just being a one-shot, too. So,
yeah. The second story, like I said, it's not my favorite of the two. It's not bad.
I love this intro.
Yeah. And the second story basically starts off with it's in London, and it says some time ago. And it shows, you know, a young lady, you know, coming back into her apartment. And as we look at her, she looks like Gwen Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at that.
Yeah.
And she goes to her window, and uh-oh, somebody shoots her through the window.
Which it even took me a second. Like, I had to, like, like, I'm, like, looking back through the panels. Like, what? Oh. Well, that's weird.
See, this is the story that will really show how much I don't really know about the original Jackal clone stuff.
I know.
Because
it's like...
I remember that he did make a clone of Gwen Stacy, along with, you know, a clone of Peter Parker, but what happened to her is the stuff, like, I figured she just left or something, and maybe this is where she wound up. She's living her own life or something. But, you know, all that stuff beyond, you know, the fact that he made a Gwen Stacy clone,
mm-hmm.
I can't tell you what happened. You know, I have no idea beyond that point. But, so the story begins with her dying. Looks mm-hmm. like she's been shot and she's bleeding to death. And then the story jumps to the Jackal at Kane's gravesite some time after the Grim Hunt, when, you know, he took Spider-Man's place and he died. And Jackal has he's waiting for him to basically rise. You know, he's this mutant-looking, you know, thing. We kind of got snapshots of this in the Amazing Spider-Man issue.
Mm-hmm.
If I recall, I think we saw him, like, coming out of the grave. We just didn't get the extended scene where Jackal, you know, wakes him up and, you know, is kind of rescuing him. I guess he's, like, you know, making it look like he's saving him, you know, rescuing him.
Right.
And a lot of it also kind of, you know, goes into showing, like, you know, clips of, like, the previous stuff where, you know, the Jackal had made the clones, and he made the original clone that fought Spider-Man, and he kidnapped Gwen Stacy, and, you know, all that fun 70s stuff.
Right.
We get the scene where the Jackal is he's mutated Kane, and he's turned him into, is he Tarantula?
Tarantula, is that what they're
called? Yep. Yeah. But there's somebody waiting for him. A lady is waiting for him with a gun, with some, you know, very recognizable blonde hair. I wonder who that is.
Yeah. Well,
and
anyway, go ahead.
And so, like, he banters with her for a while, and then, like, the you know, Kane mutant theme pops out. He calls her Abby, and I cannot remember if Abby is supposed to be the name of the original Gwen Stacy clone, because we're led to believe that as you
right.
read the story, she's the original.
Right.
And when you know, they have this big fight, and, you know, he sets the tarantula guy loose on her, she's got some sort of a killing touch power. Again, I have no idea if this is something from another story. I have no idea. But we get, like, we see her, and she's all decimated, and she kind of looks like a zombie.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like a zombie Gwen Stacy.
And we think that she killed, I mean, is the assumption that she killed the other Gwen, or the other Gwen clone?
Well, she's holding the gun.
She's holding a sniper rifle. That would seem to be...
She's holding a sniper rifle, yeah. So
beautiful panel, by the way. That's just... I love that silhouetted panel.
So I don't know how many Gwen Stacy clones there were, but...
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
I mean, it's a Jackal, you know.
Yeah, it's the Jackal. Yeah.
I mean, so, he knows how to, like, make backup copies. I'm just saying. It's something, yeah.
And so, you know, they have a big fight, and, you know, it looks like the lab explodes, and some equipment falls on the Jackal and the, you know, Abby, the Gwen Stacy clone. The tarantula guy wakes up, you know, who's actually Kane, and she talks to him, and it's like, you know, I can't get out, you know, if you'll help me, you know, we need to work together to stop him, you know, he's bad and all this stuff, and you think he's going to save her, but no.
Nope.
He saves the Jackal.
Yep.
And as he's pulling the Jackal out, the Jackal's like, I knew I could count on you, son. And the tarantula guy, Kane, basically says, in tarantula speak, "She attacked our family." Had something never had before, a home with you, father. So Kane is like, you know, he's totally, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid, and he's back with the Jackal, I guess.
That would seem to be.
And then we get the introduction of this mysterious woman that's new behind everything. You know, when Spider Island was starting up, we thought, oh, it was all Jackal, but no, it's not. There's somebody else that's pulling his strings. And I honestly thought that we were going to find out. That was going to be like
Feel that way, didn't it? It was a little bit of a striptease almost. Just like
it felt like that's where it was going, and it felt like I was going to turn the page and we were going to get, oh, it was actually this person.
Yep.
And we were going to all know who that character is and everything. And then we don't find out.
Nope, you get nothing. Sorry.
You don't get nothing.
Keep reading, yeah. Folks.
So it was good, but like I said, I felt like the more meatier stuff was in the first part, because that was really the Hobgoblin stuff is what I was more interested in.
I like them differently. I mean, I like the Hobgoblin piece because it was like new information, current story. I like the Jackal stuff because it gave a little bit of background, and I thought it was well told, you know.
Yeah, it was explaining some of the stuff that we already knew, but now we're finding out how it happened. We're finding out like how
those events took place.
How Kane became the Tarantula, and how Jackal got approached by this mysterious villainess, whoever she is.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. It was
so glad that
it was worth
the
buy. Even at $5, it was probably worth it. I paid four, so I feel a lot better.
And that is Spider Island Deadly Foes.
Yay!
Good book. Liked it. I was kind of a toss-up on like what else I wanted to talk about, and I kind of felt like just because we needed to talk about the new Avengers number 15 with Squirrel Girl. Because
this is kind of what we've been waiting on, right? I mean,
we've been wanting a Squirrel Girl issue. I mean, like, ever since it was introduced that she was the nanny for Jessica and Luke's baby, we've been waiting for Squirrel Girl to have her issue.
And
we get it.
Am I going to be an asshole for saying I'm just not a fan of this art style? I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm probably an asshole.
I like the art. I mean, the art's fine. I mean, it's just that the thing is, I'm trying to remember. Okay, it was Stuart Immonen that started the series for us, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And of course, got pulled off.
And Stuart Immonen's art was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And this art, it's not bad. It's just that it's we've had better artists on the book, I think.
Well, and Bendis loves, and it's something that he's been doing.
Oh, it's Mike Diodato. I didn't even realize it was Mike Diodato.
Yeah, it's Diodato. But he's been doing these like interview style, like long panels with just various facial expressions, and that's that just drives me nuts. But anyway, that's nitpicky.
Well, yeah, that's just his the fear itself thing.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, well, for New Avengers, but not was it? It was in regular Avengers, also, wasn't it?
Was it? I don't know. I didn't read regular.
I think it is. Can't remember.
But right
it's
off,
all kind of leading.
And
yeah,
not to take it over, but like right off the bat, my first problem is she's drawn way too sexy. I mean,
yeah.
It's like part of the allure of Squirrel Girl is like she's like kind of the cute kid next door kind of thing. You know, it's not, you know, not going to be a runway model, but not a dumpster fire, you know.
And see, that's the problem with Mike Diodato's art. His thing is he draws good-looking women, you know. That's
yeah, it's like there's
thing.
No range, you know.
He can't really not draw. Like, he can't, like, you know, dial it back down. Like, it's either she's a 10 or she's not a 10. That's
right.
It.
She's a 10 and that's it, really. I mean, it's
that's
like
it, basically. She's a 10 or she's a robot.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So anyway, that was just my first problem. But anyway, okay. Story-wise, though.
But yeah, like you were saying, they're doing the whole interview thing, and she's kind of, do you want to interview me? You know, I'm not really an Avenger, you know, and all this stuff, and kind of playing it back, you know, why do you guys want to talk to me? And then the issue gets into, we start off with Iron Fist and Wolverine having this fight, and where Iron Fist says no claws, Wolverine says no fist.
Bendis, you write funny lines.
When I was like reading this and watching the fight, I was like, please don't let Wolverine win this fight. I mean, even if he doesn't have his magic punch through anything fist, he's freaking Iron Fist, for God's sake.
Yeah, really.
He needs to win. And then the fight ends, and Wolverine wins. He just gave one big punch to his face. Quack, or whack is what it says.
Yeah.
And I like the comment where Wolverine's like, and that was me at about a 6. And Iron Fist says, I was cough at a 3. And he says, sure. Okay. Who's next? And he says, Doreen, get in here. You know, talking to Squirrel Girl. And I guess we're supposed to be led to believe that, you know, okay, Squirrel Girl's going to go in and fight. Jessica says, yes, do it. You know, she's taking care of my kid. I want to see, you know, if she can, you know, hold her own or something. And I don't know from, because I've not read a lot of stuff with Squirrel Girl, but I'm assuming that we were supposed to assume that she's not going to win this fight. That she's,
No. I mean, no. I'm going to wait until the end, and I'll kind of give my thoughts on this particular issue, and I may be wrong, but we'll go on.
But she goes into the fight, and Wolverine's like, just like old times, and she says, I don't think you remember our old times the same way I do. And again, he says, no claws, just show me what you got. And you've got this, I know you said, like, she's drawn a little too sexy, but I'm kind of terrified when I see this flying at me.
Yeah. They because they finally did the darkened eyes thing. Like, there's a few panels where she doesn't really have the pronounced eyeliner and stuff.
Yeah.
So she finally has it in this shot.
So she, like, jumps on Wolverine and starts attacking him, and, like, Luke is just kind of got this in awe look on his face, like, what the hell?
Okay, then.
And we just get, like, basically a little kind of silhouette of her kicking Wolverine's ass. You know, and she wins, and she's like, you know, jumping up and down saying, Great Lakes Avengers represent. And she turns her back to Wolverine, and then Wolverine grabs her and says, you never turn your back in a fight. And she says, I know. And he says, do you? And then she says, do you? And we've got this terrifying scene of an army of squirrels behind Wolverine. Oh my God.
That's
the scariest power ever.
Yeah. Again, I'll come back to this scene later, but yeah.
And so, like, yeah, she wins the fight, and it continues on with her interview, and she, you know, explains about, you know, her motivations for becoming the nanny. Is she kind of was taking the job because she thought maybe everybody would take notice of her, and maybe she would actually have, like, the Avengers say, hey, you know, maybe it's your time. Maybe you got a shot at being an Avenger. And in this time, she's been going back to school, and she mentions about how everybody's always looking at her. And you, of course, you know, she's a squirrel girl walking through NYU. Of course, people are going to be staring at her.
Right. You have an enormous tail.
Yeah, she said, I had a friend once that said I should change my name to Double Take because I have the power to make anybody do a double take. And there's a scene where she stops what looks like a mugging or possibly a rape. I don't know what's going on. I guess it's a mugging is what it looks like. And the person she saves, she's like, are you okay? Do you need to go to a hospital? And she says, is that normal? You know, talking about something that's going on behind Squirrel Girl. And then we get, you know, the Nazi robots, you know, flying to Washington, which goes back to, I guess, what was it? Fear Itself number one?
Yeah, right. The beginning Everything, of Fear Itself.
Yeah, all these interview stories, it seems like they're kind of taking place
after,
like during or like before, or, you know, kind of like all over the place during Fear Itself. But so when Squirrel Girl sees all the Nazi robots, she thinks instantly that, you know, I gotta get to the baby. I gotta go save the kid, make sure the kid's okay. And you then get basically a couple of pages of her just looks like she's beating the hell out of Nazi Robot as she's trying to get back to Avengers Mansion. Like, here's one where she just jumps through it and it explodes around her.
I mean, yeah. Okay. Sure.
She like defeats one of them, and like the human that was piling in it, she sicks a whole bunch of squirrels on him, of course. And she runs into like a couple more and gets into a big fight with them. We don't really see the end of the fight, and then it jumps ahead to the Avengers Mansion, where the new Avengers are preparing to head out to fight the Sin and her, you know, her Nazi robot people. And as they're leaving, Squirrel Girl then finally shows up, and she looks like she's been torn to pieces. I mean, she looks ragged and blood dripping off of her. She tells them to go on out there and you know, invite them. She'll take care of the kid. Jessica tells her that, you know, the security measures will go into effect as soon as they leave. And as they leave, you know, she like it looks like she's actually hurt worse than she thinks, because she's got this big old nasty gash in her. And then the Avengers security system gets activated, and it looks like on the next page that the Nazi robots are going to destroy Avengers Mansion.
Taking on the mansion.
So it's all up to Squirrel Girl, I guess, to defend the baby and save the day. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like... ever since they introduced Squirrel Girl into the series, I've been like, when are we going to get Squirrel Girl? When are we going to get Squirrel Girl? When is Squirrel Girl going to do something cool? And I got it, and I'm like, oh, is that, really? Is it? Because then, oh. And it, because it's not, like, Squirrel Girl is like a cult character, in my opinion, you know? Mm. She's one of those characters that's, like, in the periphery. She's done some in continuity pretty amazing things, you know, and she had the whole run with the Great Lakes Avengers and that whole line, which was sort of tongue-in-cheek and joking, but this seems almost like too serious,
and that's like, sort of the problem with Bendis getting a hold of characters like that, because he likes those characters that maybe did one thing, you know, one big thing, but it maybe got overshadowed in like the history of Marvel. You know, like characters like Purple Man. You know, he did a thing with Purple Man, and Purple Man is like this character that, if you were to see this character in the comics, you would consider him to be a joke. You know, he's like, he fought Daredevil, you know, back in the days, but he takes characters that are like that had like this one thing, and we're kind of never really used that much again, and then he tries to make them more serious.
Yeah, and that's them. Like, that's sort that of totally like ruins the point of what the character is. I mean, like, Squirrel Girl's thing is like, you know, we joke, it's like she beat Thanos, she beat Doctor Doom, she beat Daredevil, and I've said that, or not Daredevil, Deadpool several times, but, you know, those were like, the thing is like, those were just particular circumstances where she was in a position to have the tools to do that. So like when she beat Dr. Doom, you know, he was trying to kidnap or he'd like kidnapped Iron Man, and I think he had taken the helicarrier or something. But anyway, it just so happened that one of the points, like, it flew too low and close to Central Park. And so she just called all the squirrels out of Central Park and just overwhelmed him. And so that's, like, that's how she beat Doom. And, like, when she beat Deadpool...
I thought for a minute you were going to say that her secret headquarters was actually in a tree in Central Park.
No.
And it flew too close to her tree.
No, but somehow she had seen that and, like, and wanted to help or something. And that was, like, one of her first outings. But then, like, later, like, a couple years ago, like, when she beat Daredevil or Deadpool in a fight, like, before he had kind of joined up with them, again, like, unleashed a bunch of squirrels on him. And they kept, like, scratching and scratching and scratching at him. And it finally overwhelmed his healing factor, and he passed out. But he had been, like, I think he had been injured right before that anyway, so he hadn't, like, completely...
So they were all, like, circumstances.
Yeah, they were all, like, things where it's, like,
very particular reasons why she was in a position to do.
Luck she wins
exactly,
or something.
And that's why she's cool, because it's just like she's that right place, right time, you know, and did these awesome things. But it was really, you know, I mean, you can say this is other stuff that, you know, sort of made that happen. And that's what to me made the character cool. She's otherwise to me, you know, like I said, not saying that she isn't like attractive, but not like sexy. Like, I don't know that I would ever describe Squirrel Girl as sexy, unless you're into like the kind of semi emo goth sort of thing, maybe, but with a big squirrel tail, you know, or furries. Maybe if you're into furries, then you might think that, you know, Squirrel Girl is attractive. But really, I always think of her as more like a kid sister. Like, that's the sort of like character that I think more think of Squirrel Girl. Like, she's your kid sister. It's like, oh, you know, she's putting on the squirrel tail and running around. That's fun, you know.
And then in this, she's like way too much badass.
Oh, yeah. And now that's Bendis has ruined all of that, because now he's turned her into a legitimate badass. Yeah. And it's Drift. It's, I mean, it's like, for those of you not in the Transformers, you know, fandom, I don't know why you're watching the show, but no, I'm kidding. But anyway,
who are you? If you're watching the show. No.
But anyway, it was something that happened recently in the Transformers mythos, and it's not something that's uncommon. I'm sure there's a better reference. But basically, they came up with this character and decided, this character's awesome. And all they did was presented the character and said, this character is awesome, and watch them be awesome. And, you know, that's essentially what they're doing here. They're just saying, like, this character's awesome. If you have no idea who Squirrel Girl is or anything that came before, you're just being presented with a character that you're being told is awesome and is doing a bunch of awesome stuff, but you have no reason to understand, one, why awesome character has not been around doing more awesome things more recently.
And see, I've never read, like, some of the other stuff. I know of it, and I know of, like, the jokes with Great Lakes Avengers, and I assume that she was basically just a joke. So when I'm reading this, I'm like thinking, oh, yeah, he's taking the joke character and he's making them a legitimate badass. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, and I just, I'm so disappointed. Like, this is, like, I wanted a story, like, featuring Squirrel Girl doing something, but not this. Like, this is
if it wasn't in Fear Itself, if it was in, like, just some regular issue where, okay, like, the Masters of Evil attack Avenger Mansion in...
Yeah.
All the Avengers are gone fighting Thanos.
And it's
like
a Home Alone kind of deal. Like,
and then
you
she,
know.
Like, yeah, does just something, like, just, again, out of dumb luck, she somehow finds a way to defeat the Masters.
Beats the
of
whole
evil.
Masters of, yes. Like, see, that would be it. Like,
and
you
then,
get it. Like,
and then
that's
the Avengers
what Squirrel
come back
Girl...
and they say, hey, how was the kid? Oh, she Everything. Was a little gassy before, but everything's okay now.
Yeah, exactly. Da-da-da. Freeze frame. You know. Yeah. Credits. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, that would be Squirrel Girl. This is just, I don't
that's
know.
That's what we were waiting for. And we didn't
yeah,
quite get there.
No, that's not what we got. Thanks, Bendis. Way to screw that up.
Okay, we're going to start referring to that as he Bendis'd it up.
Yes. yes. So here you go. Fanboy versus we have invented the term Bendis'ing up the show, guaranteeing that he will never do an interview with us.
That's okay. I think I can live with that
on the show. No, usually I really enjoyed New Avengers. There's been a lot of good stuff on it, and it's not that this is a bad story. It's a fine story.
Yeah.
It's just not what I was wanting out of Squirrel Girl, and that happens.
Just,
you know,
wrong place, wrong time for this story. Maybe.
Well, not even wrong. I mean, I wouldn't even say that. I would just say it's the wrong thematically. It's not what typically happens to that character.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
And you can't really do the story we wanted during the Fear Itself time, because everything's
exactly.
so serious. Bucky's dead, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's like and, Fear Itself is this... World is ending.
World is ending. Everything is bad.
We're not going to review Fear Itself, but I was a little disappointed with Deus Ex sort of event in there where... So there's an event where Hulk and Thing hammered up versions are fighting Thor, I guess. And Thor actually calls Mjolnir and it flies through the Thing and seemingly kills him. And then Franklin uses his powers to magically restore him, I guess, or you know, how his powers work. And it was just kind of like,
Really? That's what you're gonna go with that? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, because we had already established what in the FF book that he didn't lose his powers; he still has it. And
well, right? I know, but it was just like in that moment, it was just kind of like that was what you came up with to do that sequence, not lose his hammer, not redeem himself in any way.
I mean, we're talking about fear itself here. I mean, what else do you want? You know, it's not been great.
You know, I want consistent characters, cross storylines.
But despite these problems, I'm beginning to think it's turning out better than Flashpoint now.
So far.
It's sad. Yeah.
So far, mainly because Flashpoint stalled after like the second issue. So,
I mean, things happen in this issue of Fear Itself. I mean, it's mostly a big fight, but there are things that happen that shot the story forward a little bit more. Not like in Flashpoint, where, you know, basically nothing happened for like three issues.
Right. Yeah. You know? So.
Yeah.
All right. So, and I guess that's it for your good.
Yep, yep.
Solid
yep,
thing. Okay, good. So, yep. I will start with something that I never read, which is Justice League of America. Now, mind you, when you start a new pull sheet, you might want to keep track of when issues start, especially when there's new stuff. So like with this new 52, I filled out my pull sheet last week and I said I wanted to read the Justice League because, you know, I do. But not the current one, which I didn't realize there was an issue coming out this week. So I got the new one. So I was like, oh, well, that's just fine.
Yeah, because if you tell them you want to get a book, they assume you want that book like pronto.
Like now.
They want to sell you those comics. So yeah, you gotta be careful.
Yes, they want to sell you it now.
I had to be specific when I said I would like the new Punisher.
Yeah.
Not Punisher Max.
Yeah.
Not Punisher whatever that's out there right
Frankenberry
now.
Frankenberry Punisher.
Punisher comic.
So, I am going to just run through this real quick, just because I thought it was interesting. Most of this issue is a various flashback. You know, when you get to that, like, it's like that last episode of some series, like the way they'll end it is all the characters will sit around and like, remember that time when we did that thing? That was cool. Hey, I remember when you did that one thing. That was pretty awesome. Yeah, and we learned a lot when that one thing happened. That's what this issue is.
Did you remember that time that we, like, changed Batman's memory and we, like, you know, turned Dr. Light into a vegetable?
Yeah, wow, remember that? Wasn't that great? That was a lot of fun. Those were the days.
Yep.
But so most of this issue takes place with the current JLA roster of people that you probably haven't heard of. On the satellite after they've just finished doing something. I don't know what's going on. And they basically all just sort of one by one start to give their reasons for why they're leaving. So Supergirl wants to strike it out on her own, and Donna's doesn't feel the need to be a fighter anymore, and I don't know, the gorilla guy wants to go make Africa a better place, and the Wonder Girl's going to have a baby, and Jade is going to rebuild the Emerald City on the moon, and Dick's going to go back to being Nightwing. And I mean,
does he explain why he wants to go back to being Nightwing?
It doesn't really, and it was kind of
like,
like,
to know that. Like, okay, I was Batman, but now I guess I'm going to be Nightwing.
No, I mean, there's just kind of a line in here, you know, where he says that, you know, the being, you know, Batman Incorporated is taking up a lot of his time, and he assumes that Bruce will want him back as Nightwing, you know, before too long, which he says would be a relief. I don't know how forced that is, you know, because it seems like that could be, you know, it's kind of like, well, we're putting him back like, in that direction.
Like Bloodhaven really needs me, and it'll be really confusing if I show up in Bloodhaven as Batman.
Yeah.
So
I need to do that as Nightwing. That's when Cassius who has a baby. I don't know. It's the speedster on the team, the chick. I don't know what her name is. I don't know anything about this roster, so I'm.
I should know. I've been buying JLA, but I feel so far behind. I need to read them.
Yeah.
I used to really like James Robinson. I think he was a really good writer, but in the last couple of years, he's just kind of, I don't know, fallen. Yeah.
I mean, this is, I mean, it does seem like it's like, oh, I should have been reading this. This is kind of cool.
I mean, had Dick on the Justice League. I mean, that is a good enough reason for me to.
Is that the chick, Jessie Quick? Is that her? She's a red and yellow. I mean, it's got like this thing with wings on it. I don't know. Maybe it is.
Yeah, Jessie Quick has like a red and yellow suit. Do you have an image of it?
I can. I can put her up.
I can look at it, see if it is her.
As soon as I find a good page here with her on it. But, yeah, there we go. I think, well, let's see. I don't know if you'll be able to see it. But, let's see. No? Anybody?
Yeah, I think it's Jessie Quick. Yeah, you had it there for a second. You got to move it over. There you go.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think it's Jessie Quick.
Okay.
Looks like her.
Yep. So anyway, yeah. But like I said, I mean, I kind of liked it just because it was like, even as an outside reader, like I'm reading this and going, I'm kind of touched. They're all going their separate ways. They're clearing the table.
It's ending. Oh,
yeah. Man. It's an actual ending. You know, it's not just like some of the DC stuff, which is just like, oh, by the way, this is it. You know.
And would this be like the Justice League that you would? I know you were like talking about how we were going back to kind of status quo for Justice League with the relaunch. Is this more of a Justice League you'd be more interested in reading? Because it's kind of like dudes from all over the place. You know, you got an ape guy, for God's sake. You know, and you've got like a
There's an ape guy,
Starman guy,
yeah, and the Star guy. I don't know what his deal is. That's cool, Jade, awesome, sort of Green Lantern ish, but not really. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, it sounds kind of interesting. You know,
it's too
but
bad it's ended, huh?
I'm a comic book reader. You know, I'm like a devoted comic book reader, and so like that's where, you know, for me, it's kind of like, I can see where that might not appeal to a larger audience. So I get it, you know. And that's where I say, but so it's big ending. Adjourned. Justice League adjourned. So as they all go their separate ways. And then the 52 thing will happen and none of them will be back. But you know.
Some of them might show up somewhere.
Somewhere, but they're not going to be on this team. Well, I guess Jade is. Is Jade on this team? No, Jade's gone.
Is Jade in International? Is she going to be doing that, or is she something else?
I don't think she's on International. So many of like those, the characters that are either from the Golden Age or are associated with the Golden Age, you know, are just gone. I mean, no.
Yeah, like the JSA isn't coming back. But I think we hear something that, not in the 52 relaunch, but JSA will be returning sometime later.
Maybe.
I mean, I think I've heard that.
So, so the other book I'll give some attention to, and again, I'm not going to go into great detail on this one, is Booster. Last Booster. So Booster's not continuing in the 52, but he will be in the new 52 as the leader of the JLI. So he is going to be in it. Again, I'm not going to go through. The first part is kind of weird. I was kind of jolted. I'm like, did I miss an issue? Because they didn't really explain the part where, because in the beginning of this, Booster and this, the other woman that's been helping him were captured. But, in the last bit, it looked like, Doomsday was actually going to kill Booster, but apparently he was just captured. So
has the Booster stuff with Flashpoint, has it mattered? I mean, has it done anything to help?
It will. Flashpoint? Well, sort. I wouldn't say it helped Flashpoint. I would say it helped tie up some of the loose ends and draw some of the circles back from Jurgen's run, like on the search for Bruce Wayne or whatever. That the separate run that he did. So was that Search for Batman, I guess, with it was Superman, Green Lantern, Booster.
Are you talking about Time Masters? Is that what it was?
It was, yeah, that Time Master. Oh yeah, the Time Master.
Is that what that
was? Yeah, that one.
That's the one I didn't read. I read Search for Bruce Wayne or The Return of Bruce Wayne or whatever it was, but the other one I didn't read.
Right. Yeah, and yeah, and that's the Time Master's Vanishing Point. It tied up some loose ends from that. In kind of an awesome sequence in this, though, so they're in. Of course, this is General Nathaniel Adams,
kind of office, the control area for Doomsday, and Doomsday is sort of sitting there inert. And the general doesn't have, like, his control helmet on, and somehow, Booster, like, knocks over some railing, he gets a hand loose and blasts parts of, like, the railing lights down, and they knock the helmet out of Nate's hand, and he loses control of Doomsday, so Doomsday starts going nuts, especially because he saw an image of Superman, because they saw the released Superman on the screen. And so Doomsday starts going nuts, breaking everything, and of course they still don't trust Booster because they think he's an Atlantean, even though he looks nothing like an Atlantean. I don't know what that's
he's
all
got
about.
That suit, though, it makes him look weird.
I guess, you know? So
he's wearing something that makes him breathe.
He looks different, so kill it.
He's different. He's wearing something that looks like he's breathing on land. He looks like he should be underwater, you know?
Yeah. So so Nate loses the control helmet, bit of a scuffle. Booster looks like he's going to get pierced through with the by Doomsday. And then the chick that he's been working with picks up the control helmet and puts it on and, like, takes over control of Doomsday and makes him stick out his claws and then into his own chest and start tearing himself apart.
God.
Yeah, like, there's this amazing panel where he just, like, reaches into his own guts and just evacerates himself.
And see, what's really awesome about Doomsday is that when Doomsday dies, whatever killed him can't kill him again. So that means Doomsday can't kill himself anymore.
When well, he comes that's, back. That's good to know. yeah. So,
suicide's for you, Doomsday.
There's an image on the screen. I mean, so, you know, Booster, whatever, gathers her back up. But I guess everybody else is unconscious. So what he's saying is he's trying to get access to chronal energy. All the chronal energy in his suit is burnt out. And he's trying to get access to some chronal energy, which he figures he can get from Barry once he figures out that Barry's here. Because he sees Barry on a screen. So they go flying off to wherever that Atlantean Amazonian war is going on. And
the one in Flashpoint number 5 or
yeah,
something?
the most recent one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Booster catches up to Flash. They have a very brief, unimportant conversation. And he's got the girl flying with him. And he, like, grabs onto her, absorbs the chronal energy from Flash, and he's going to take her with him to go wherever it is that he's going to go to straighten everything out or to do whatever. And but she gets, like, shot sort of in the process, and they get separated. And he shows up alone at Vanishing Point, at the Vanishing Point station. And
and that's, like, the center of time or something?
It's
or?
At the end. Vanishing Point exists, at a point at, like, the end of time.
Okay.
So and all the monitors are blank, which is kind of odd. Usually all the monitors are showing bits of history that are going on. But, you know, there's no one there. And his suit is all destroyed. So the last thing he says is that he's got to get a new suit. So to me, like, the implication of, like, that and this whole sequence is that it's retaining Booster's memory. So Booster should be one of the few characters in the New 52 that
yeah,
will
that's
remember
what I was
the previous
gonna
timeline.
Ask is if he was going to be one of the characters that will, you know, remember everything as it was before the relaunch.
Yeah, and I think that's the indication here. So it'll be an incontinuity way to explain why he gets a new uniform or a new suit, but it should, since he's at Vanishing Point, and Vanishing Point essentially sort of exists at the end and outside of time, it should preserve him from the time shift that's going to happen at the end. But here's the really interesting bit, I thought. I know McFeely would be throwing a fit right now, so I'm kind of glad he's not here for this part. but at the end of the Time Masters series, there was the chalkboard, of course. And the chalkboard, Rip didn't write the stuff on the board. He mentioned that came from somewhere else. Yeah. So
what happens here is, of course, this girl's ability is to, I mean, she has like a meta-human ability to like absorb powers, and I would assume that her contact with the time stream gave her time traveling power. So anyway, she shows up basically right after Booster came back, and the chalkboard was blank, and then she picks up the chalk and writes on it, and she's the one that writes all the stuff on the chalkboard. Yeah. So she's the one that gave all the, you know, indications of stuff to come. Now, like I said, most of this stuff we had kind of figured out what it was, but there's one question on here looking at it from that direction that makes me sort of think I have an idea maybe, or another idea of what changed, because we still don't know what Professor Zoom changed. So this is maybe spoiler for some people. If you don't care to hear my theory, then, you know, fast forward a minute. It's not a very interesting theory, so it's probably wrong. But, but one of the questions on here is, why did it have to be Bruce? Which obviously pertains to, you know, Bruce Wayne, but would seem to anyway. The reason I bring that up is because when this was first presented, it was right after the return of Bruce Wayne. And when we didn't know what Flashpoint was going to be, I think the assumption was that it had something to do with why did Bruce have to die, or Bruce come back, or what was his importance.
Yeah, why did he die in Infinite Crisis? Or,
exactly.
But
now we know that all of this stuff refers to stuff within the Flashpoint universe.
Yeah.
So the question on there, why did it have to be Bruce, I think answers itself in the sense that because Bruce died and not Thomas, it made Thomas become Batman, and that's what, like, delayed the Silver Age. Because essentially you're saying that, you know, Bruce coming in and, you know, being that the type of Batman that he was solidified, brought everything together. But Thomas still being alive, they talked about how everything changed for Thomas. You know, he started the casinos and did, you know, all the other stuff.
He sort of stalled. Like, you know, if you read like the miniseries that Brian Azzarello did, he sort of stalled what he was doing. He didn't move forward. You know, he was obsessed like Bruce was, but to the point that he wanted to kill. Like, he even kills Joe Chill. He finds him and he murders him.
Yeah.
In that series.
So I think the indication for me is, I think that might be it. You know, that might be the thing that causes everything to be different. That somehow, you know, Zoom managed to change that scenario where Thomas lived and Bruce was killed. So,
well, he is one of the big three, and honestly, without Batman, then Wonder Woman and Superman sort of don't become better people. He's sort of, you know what I mean?
And you go back, but you have to go back and think about all the stuff that Thomas does. I mean, it's all those things that Thomas would have done that would have been in that, like, that period that, you know, could have caused all of those differences to, in particular, some of the Golden Age characters as well. Because that would have been around that same time. So, I don't know. That's my theory. Take it or leave it. I don't know. We'll find out in 2 weeks. So, it's probably terribly wrong. Who knows? It could be a lot of things, but I
honestly, at this point, I'm more interested in what will be changed to create the relaunch. That's what I'm more interested in right now.
Not what changed
to the world of the Flash, you know, Flashpoint, but what they're going to do when they fix it and what they didn't do to make everything go back the way it was before.
Yeah, because that'll be, and I think that'll be part of the, like, the end story stuff is that, you know, something that they'll do will slightly alter that moment and change everything that comes, you know, after it. So,
I do love that Booster is one of the characters that might remember, because if you're gonna have a character to remember the old universe, it's got to be the guy that's sort of a hero that nobody, you know, even puts any kind of actual trust in.
Right.
It's like, oh, yeah, you know, in this other world, you know, blah, blah, blah happened. Of course, Booster, you know, bye, you know.
Right.
Walked away from him.
Yeah.
But it did happen. I saw it. Sure,
right.
Whatever.
But Booster's pretty good about that. I mean, he's seen a lot of things change and not, you know, not been privy or stuff, so, or not made other people aware of that, so.
So yeah. So anyway, so there you go, Booster. Last Booster. QQ. Aww. So anyway, I'm excited about JLI though. That's gonna be
yeah.
That should be a good series. So.
God, so, he's got Guy Gardner on it.
I know. Batman, Guy Gardner, Booster, Red Rockets.
Yes.
Rockets Red. I always get his name backwards. I don't know which is right. I just say both. So anyway, on to the top of the show then. End of the show. Whatever. Spider Island, Amazing Spider-Man 667, part one of Spider Island.
Which we technically had part one, because it was the prelude, but it felt prelude. Like a part one.
It did feel like a part one. It wasn't, but it sure felt that way.
Yeah.
I read this last week. Did you read this more recently than I have?
I read it a couple of days ago.
When did you take point and follow along? Okay.
Well, so, like, it starts off, at the end of the last issue, Carly was trying to tell Peter that she's now got spider powers, just like everybody else. And he was too busy, you know, he was doing the Spider-Man thing, he was doing his job thing, he was doing the Future Foundation thing. He really, literally had no time, you know, to talk to her. So, we get kind of like, you know, after he comes, at the end of the last issue, he comes home. To his apartment, and we get kind of like the next page is what it looks like, because we get this panel of what looks like Carly and Peter sort of separated. And from looking at it at first, it kind of looks like Peter
yeah.
is the one that's like hanging from the ceiling. And I'm like thinking, what happened? Is he telling her that what in the world? And then you turn the page and it's actually Carly that's on the ceiling.
Yeah.
And this is how she's breaking it to him that she's got the spider powers. And you get this great little scene where Peter's like, my girlfriend, Carly Cooper, has spider powers. No, not cool. Definitely not cool. Oh, this happened right after we, you know, took our relationship to the next level. Kissing, swapping spit, sharing the odd toothbrush and whatnot. Did I give her a spidery transmitted disease? I laughed out loud.
Oh my god, this is awesome.
He's blaming himself. He thinks he's giving her powers. He doesn't know what's going on out there yet, and it's great. It's just one of those Dan Slott moments. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She's like, he's playing it off like, oh, wow, you got spider powers, just like Spider-Man.
Well, that's, you know, that's just great. That's, wow. That's swell.
Yeah. It's like, and she's like, and it's not only the wall crawling. I can shoot web. She has organic webbing, by the way. Boo. Organic webbing. And I've got spider strength. Check this out. And Peter, like, you know, touches her muscle and says, you know, it doesn't look much bigger, but it's as hard as a rock. Yep, it sure is. And she, like, picks him up. And he's like, hey, you know. He acts like, oh. And she's like, hey, did I hurt you or something? And he's like, no, I'm okay. You know, but he kind of, like, plays it like, oh, I'm scared. You know, you picked me up in the air and everything. And he's freaking out. You know, he's like, we got to find out what's wrong with you. We got to take you to the hospital and all this stuff. Right. And she's, like, enamored with it. She thinks she's going to, like, start fighting crime like Spider-Man and all this stuff.
Yeah, like she's all ready to start her superhero career here. She's like, I got these powers. I'm a crime fighter. I'm ready to go. I just need a suit.
I'm ready to go.
I need a costume. Maybe just a little bit of tech. And then I'm just ready to go. And he's like, no. Yeah. Time out.
Peter remembers he needs to drop off his aunt and Jay off at the airport because they're leaving town. They'd forgot about it. And she's like, oh, all right. You know, oh, yeah. Boy, when you're a superhero, all this secret identity stuff blows. I should be out on patrol or something. That'd be awesome. It's like, great. She's a superhero now. Just what the world needs, you know. Another Spider Woman, and then you know, switches story to the Madam Web. So we get a little scene with Madam Web and Shang-Chi, and they're watching what looks like you know some sort of. Like you know, gangsters meeting or something, and it turns out that these this is like the meeting that the Jackal is having with the people that he's given powers, you know, those certain individuals, and I guess these are like the worst ones, you know, these are the ones that you know are going to cause the most chaos or something, And they're, you know, fighting with each other, like, on the next page. Like, basically, these are rival gangs that it's like, oh, you know, you don't mess with me now because I got spider powers. Like, they all don't know that each one has it, and then they start fighting. It's like, oh, yeah, well, I got spider powers, too. This guy kicks this guy in the face, you know? And Jackal basically breaks it up, and, you know, he tells everybody to, you know, calm down, you know. Why fight your... What basically he says, you know, why fight amongst yourselves when you could go out there and, you know, just take what you want and all this stuff. And he gives them Spider-Man costumes.
Which and, is... You know, no, yeah, and which is so screwed up because you're just like, yeah. As soon as that happens, you know what's coming.
Yeah, there's going to be chaos. And it's not just, like, the traditional, you know, red and blue. It's like anything spider. I mean... I think in the next couple of pages, I see there. I might have even seen some guy like in spider armor at some point, you know.
Yeah.
There's like the black and white costume. There's the stealth suit. I'm like looking on the next page because like basically chaos is happening. Everybody is just just taking what they want, doing what they want, and they got.
I think I even saw someone in like the Ben Reilly.
The hoodie. Yeah. Somebody's like.
But even
the hoodie
there's a Scarlet Spider back there.
Yeah.
In that, yeah, in this one really big two-page, you know, spread.
And so, like, Mary Jane's out there in the thick of it, and she's trying to save some kid from getting crushed by some dude with spider powers. And then, like, a future Foundation Spidey shows up and says, quick thinking, Redhead. And MJ says, Tiger, is that you? And he, like, moves his mask up, and we see it's not Peter. And he says, oh, I'll be your tiger pussycat. I'll be anything you want. And he's like, ew.
Yeah.
So we don't know. It's literally like you don't know if one of them's Spidey or not. So the Avengers and everybody is just, you know, going to start taking them out because like the Thing like knocks the dude out.
Yeah.
Next page. And that is where sort of the problem comes in because now how is Spidey going to help? I mean, literally, I mean, you'll be lost. You'll be lost in a sea of people, you know?
Well, it's not like he can be like, he can say, well, you know, it's me because I'm so-and-so because they don't know who he is. I mean, maybe he can do that for Ben, but...
Yeah. But, like, the scene shifts, and we've got, like, basically Carly and Peter look like in a traffic jam on the bridge, and they hear about the... basically all the people with the spider powers. And Peter, he's needing to go and do something, but then Carly's like, "You, I'm on it," basically, is what she's...
It was awesome.
She jumps on the top of the car, and she says... He says, what do you think you're doing? And she says, what's it look like? Now, honey, I need you to stay here out of harm's way, because this looks like a job for... And she shoots her webbing and swings away your friendly neighborhood spider cop. And then Peter's like, so that's what that feels like.
It's just perfect, total role switch. Love it.
So he switches his costume so he can go and try to help. You get this great scene with Jameson. This is just awesome, where he's basically talking. He says, it's a citywide epidemic. Shutting down bridges and tunnels isn't enough. You don't know these web-slinging weirdos like I do.
he's like, I was right, I knew it!
He's like the general that's like been in the 100 wars with Spider-Man. He's like the guy you go to
no,
now.
No, this is more even like the fringe nut, though. That's like, he's like, I've been saying for years the aliens are going to be coming, and now they're here, and you made fun of me for preparing, and now we're ready!
It's awesome. Great. He's like, alert the Air Force and National Guard. We are clamping down on our airspace stat. We're on it, Mr. Mayor, somebody says. And he says, in full deployment of the entire anti-spider patrol, you all mocked me for putting 30% of the city's budget into it. Well, who's laughing now?
Yeah, exactly. No one's.
You're a dag-blasted visionary, Jameson. Damn right I am.
Hell yeah, yeah.
I swear this is the reason God himself put me on this earth. Mark my words, this will go down in history. He says, as Mayor J. Jonah Jameson's finest hour. God, I love Jameson.
Which is beautiful because it's juxtaposed by this almost two-page spread of chaos.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and here's more, you know, spiders. The Iron Spider here, the Armored Spider, yeah, the cloak suit. Yeah, I mean, there's, you know. Yeah, it's pretty much like, if you think about it, yeah, that Spider-Man costume is probably in here.
Yeah, it's like any kind of identity he's had at some point. And then, like, yeah, the Avengers and the Future Foundation are fighting them, and then Spidey tries to get involved. He tries to talk sense into Miss Marvel. He says, "Hey, Miss Marvel, I'm looking for a girl." Miss Marvel says, "Yeah?" And she says, "Well, you're not getting your hands on this one," and then kicks him in the head.
Yeah. And it's like, and yeah, that's exactly what I thought would happen.
Yeah, and, like, he's trying to talk to him, but, I mean, all they see is an army of people in spider costumes with spider powers tearing up the city. They're not even thinking that it could be Peter. So, Thing gets a shot on him. Iron Fist hits him. He's trying to talk to him. And then up above them, Madame Web and Shang-Chi is watching over the scene. And Madame Web's, like, talking, like, she'd made a reference, like, early on about something where, this is when... it says, yes, we watched as Spider-Man was struck down by his own friends and teammates. Like, she had foreseen this. You know, this is something she saw happening. And she's trying to stop Shang-Chi from getting involved. But he says, you know, that man is my friend and my ally. I will not abandon him. And he just jumps in to go and try to help him. And she says, fine, go to him. The web will allow it now because my champion has learned the first lesson of Spider Island. Even though he shoulders great responsibility while he's here, all of his great powers are absolutely meaningless. And then we end it with, you know, the page of, like, all of the people with the spider powers just, you know, kind of knocked out. And Spidey, I guess, is in there somewhere. But, you know, honestly, I can't
He's the one saying,
There he is. Okay. But, you mean, just like the Avengers, you know, I couldn't tell either. You know, who, to take them all out, you know, is what they're thinking.
Exactly.
And it, yeah. But, yeah, good issue. I liked it.
Yeah, that's a good intro to the series. It's definitely, you know, it's wondering how they're going to figure out the who is he part and, you know, what to do. I mean, it's just like total chaos now. You know, there's just no, and I think it's only going to get worse because I think the indication is that, you know, some of the people from the power community are going to get spider powers as well. I didn't talk about it, but I did pick up the Spider-Girl issue, and spoiler for that one. But the big reveal at the end of that is, and part of that issue is actually the Hobgoblin, you know, in the middle of all the stuff, like Spider-Girl's fighting people and stuff, and then she gets picked up. Oh, I don't know, the Society of the Wasp, I guess, which is opposed to the Society of the Spider, which is what she had sort of been part of for a while. They're... you know, fighting. They're like, they see a bunch of spider people and they go nuts. They're like, kill the spiders. So she's out fighting them and she gets picked up by Hobgoblin, who of course takes her back to Kingpin because that's who Hobgoblin works for. And the Kingpin, I don't know, he talks about making her an offer that would be beneficial for both of them. But in the last panel, he starts climbing the wall. Because he has spider powers now.
The Kingpin has spider powers?
The Kingpin has spider powers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what got you on to have spider powers.
No, he's already quite powerful on his own. And then now he has spider powers as well. So, yeah, I think that's kind of the indication that, you know, that some of the powered community villains as well as heroes probably will start to get powers as well. So, interesting. I'm still, you know, I'm continuity. I hate. It's always in my head, and I'm just kind of like, how does this fit in with the fear itself, time-wise, where... No?
It doesn't.
Just pretend
it's like,
that...
Oh, it's going on, maybe before it, maybe after it, maybe during it. I don't know. Marvel's having a bad month. You know, the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. It's not...
There's a lot of stuff.
The entire island of Manhattan is being overrun by wasps and spiders and Nazis.
The question
and...
you should really be asking isn't how does it fit... Why is Spider Island better than their big crossover?
Ooh.
That's the real question you should be asking. Because it's a lot better.
Yes. So.
Why was it this Fear Itself? Oh, Fear the Spider.
Fear the Spider. Fear the Spider. That would be it. So, yeah, that's it. That's pretty much the show this week. Not a super long show, I guess.
Yeah, we're missing half of our cast, so, you know.
But we had fun. See,
yes.
We can do a show without McFeely. You know, there was an email trade back and forth. I sent an email out to the crew earlier this week, and McFeely says that he wasn't going to be here
for this episode, and he dared me to do an episode without him.
Dared us. I saw
I accepted that dare and executed it.
I had to be here because of that.
See? So, yes, we can do Fanboy Versus without McFeely. It has just been coincidental that Fanboy Versus had been canceled when he wasn't available. But there were other reasons as well. So we can do this show without McFeely. So, by the way, I'll mention, I don't think I mentioned at the beginning of the show, but I mentioned at the end of the show. How do you like our new look? So we kind of redesigned the look for the show, visually, mind you. If you're listening to the show, it doesn't sound any different. But if you do check out the show at blip.tv/TF Radio or at our YouTube channel for TF Radio Network or anywhere else where you may download it, who knows where it propagates to. Here it is, new look for the show. Brian helped me a little bit, and I did most of the design for this. But there's a four-panel format for this as well, so... So send us feedback. Tell us what you think. It's right there at the bottom. So, you know, for the Twitter link, Fanboy Versus website, fanboyversus.com or tfradio.net as well for that. So there you go. Check it out. Also, check out, Twitter names. So if you want to follow us on Twitter, there you go. That's how you do it right there. Our Twitter names are on the screen as well. I try to make it easy. I mean, if I could put links on this screen that worked, I would do that, but I can't. So, Sweet. So you might have to type those in. But there you go. Follow us online on Twitter.
I'll say I like the look of it.
So, thank you. Good job. So, anyway, all right. Well, we will be back next week. Few interesting things out, but I'm not sure what. Hopefully, we'll have a full crew and have everything back. But otherwise, Chris, thanks so much, man, for coming in today. And we're actually doing a show. It's very exciting. So,
yes.
I hate missing a week. I really hate missing a week. But there was just no way that I physically could have. Even for the – I mean, this is kind of a short show for us. But I'm going to have to go put my leg up for a while. So – I guess I should mention I had cellulitis in my leg. It's like an infection. I'm on like these Uber antibiotics. I had like two antibiotic shots and all kinds of good stuff. I have a lot of medical problems, apparently. It just happens to me, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I'm hoping I'm almost over all this stuff. But
I hope you get to feeling better.
I feel physically fine. It's just the, you know, pain. Actually, I had fevers and stuff. Anyway, it's not important. What is important...
But the plus side is you're getting to watch a lot of Netflix, which is awesome.
I am. A lot of Netflix downloaded. I'm watching G Gundam now, so. But Headmaster Dawn suggests that I might be getting spider powers. That would be awesome. I do think one of the doctor's suggestions was that I had been bitten by a spider.
Oh my God.
Why couldn't it be radioactive? That would have been awesome.
It doesn't have to be radioactive. It's one of those jackal, you know, bed bugs.
Oh, it could. Oh, it could be. Oh, yeah. I can hear it. Or I guess the new thing is genetically altered, right? So that's the.
Yeah.
That's the genetically altered spider to have bitten me. But really, it's like, what was it, Family Guy or something? Where it's like they did the whole episode where they got hit by the radioactive goo, and then, they made some allusion to, no, really, when that happens, people, they usually just get sick and die. So, you know, it's like, oh, well, that's great. So, anyway, thanks for joining us. You know, really appreciate it again. Oh, one more thing I want to mention. If you go to the website, tfradio.net, there we have a survey set up for PodTrack. Do us a huge favor and please go to the website, hit the link, do the PodTrack survey for us. You don't have to put in a lot of personal information. I know some of that stuff I was able to skip, but mainly it's the stuff for like our show and demographic and that kind of stuff. Why are we doing that? Well, it helps us out. It's going to give us some basically notoriety with PodTrack. That is going to help us, one, reach more listeners, two, it's going to help us provide content for the show. So things like contest prizes, things like that. I mean, that's going to be ways that we're going to be able to generate those things and do that. So if you like contests, if you like getting free stuff from us, go fill out that survey and just take a few seconds of your time to do. Believe me, I hate surveys. I hate doing surveys. But we would really appreciate your time. I took the time to do the survey as well. But we would really appreciate it. Again, just go to the website, tfradio.net. There should be a link set up for that, I think, off the main page. Or you should be able to find it from there. If not, Brian will make a link because I said so. But anyway, really appreciate that if you do that for us. That would just be enormously huge. And if you already done it, thank you. We appreciate that. So we just need as many of those as can. Of course, tell your friends, share the show, tell them about it at your shop, that kind of stuff. You know, we want to reach more people and have more fun. Yes. So anyway, again, that's our show. Thanks so much for tuning in. And please tune in next time when it'll be Fanboy versus...
This has been Fanboy versus... Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.